Blog Talk Radio.
Your incense, your candles, and prepare yourself for our very own world-renowned master reader and loved one, Nunu. I am Bill, your co-pilot and meditation specialist, and now, Broken Earth.
Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show, and thank you for choosing us. That's the longest intro ever. My name's Bill. Today we're going to be talking about who built the moon, some moon facts. We've got some stuff about trees. We've got monumental historical misconceptions about the female body. We've got some horror stories. We've got loads of news for you. Loads of things to get through. Let's give us a call today to share any stories, anything paranormal, anything spiritual, anything at all. Give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Let me just do a sound check, which I can't do. I'll just assume that I sound okay. So please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
Thank you.
thanks for all those sound effects during the song. That was great.
Did it go on the whole song?
Well, it was about the last 30 seconds.
I accidentally...
You were like, wrong. It's ruined the atmosphere, believe me.
Now, Carl was throwing... he was throwing jerkies at me like I was a dog and I was trying to catch him.
Sounded like a dog.
I was going, no, no, I really was trying to... I didn't know. I am so sorry. Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is the Broken Earth Radio Show. I'm New New, and this is Billy Bill, and we're here to talk.
And Marissa's around, right?
Mm-mm.
No, she's gone.
Yeah, she had to go pick up people. Wait. Did you say wait?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to go exercise with some weights. All seriousness, though, we got a great show today. If anybody wants to call in to discuss the topics as we're going along, our number is 347-215-8421. We have the esoteric question of the day or the week. We have terrifying, spooky statements that can make any moment uncomfortable. We have Who Built the Moon? We're going to be discussing some other things that Bill has plotted out for us, and we're also going to be talking about just, you know, news, you know, current events, that sort of thing. So the last time we broke off, we had talked a little bit about the plane, that missing plane. I heard they found it on the moon, unless that was just a joke. Courtney Love thinks she found it. That sounds like it's a joke, too, but she really does. Have you seen those pictures?
Which pictures?
Oh, well, Courtney Love, well, it's not, it's pictures that they released about the oil slicks, and there's some sort of thing that could be just trick of the eye or just placement of water or the plane underwater.
Well, I started reading something out last week. I had to skim through it real quickly, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see if I was on the last paragraph, and it was like the very end of the show. Let me just read out that last bit. Let me just find this link. Hold on. It was on Natural News. Here we are. I was running through the reasons. flies, but the black box and so forth. And okay, I'll get to the conclusion. So they're saying here, the conclusion, Flight 370 did not explode, it vanished. This is the last paragraph, didn't quite get to read.
Right.
We'll hear the rest of it. It's on the end, very end of last week's show. The inescapable conclusion from what we know so far is that Flight 370 seems to have utterly and inexplicably, you know what I mean, vanished. It clearly was not hijacked unless there was a cover-up regarding the radar data, and we can all be increasingly confident by the hour that this was not a mid-air explosion, unless debris suddenly turns up that they've somehow missed all along. The inescapable conclusion is that Flight 370 simply vanished in some way that we do not yet understand. This is what is currently giving rise to all sorts of bizarre-sounding theories across the net, including discussions of possible secret military weapons tests, Bermuda Triangle-like ripples in the fabric of space-time, and even conjecture that non-terrestrial technology may have teleported the plane away. Before I continue that, but I heard someone told me they said something about there was something like 20 scientists on board. They were testing out some new technology or something. But I haven't looked into the information on that. That sounds interesting.
Well, there were a lot of Chinese people, so it's believable.
Personally, I'm not buying any of that without a lot more evidence. The most likely explanation so far is that the debris simply hasn't been found yet because it's fell over an area which is somehow outside the search zone. But as each day goes by, even this explanation becomes harder and harder to swallow. The frightening part about all this is not that we will find the debris of Flight 370, but rather that we won't. If we never find the debris, it means some entirely new, mysterious and powerful force is at work on our planet, which can pluck airplanes out of the sky without leaving behind even a shred of evidence. If there does exist a weapon with such capabilities, whoever controls it already has the ability to dominate all of Earth's nations, and with a fearsome military weapon of unimaginable power. That thought is a lot more scary than the idea of an aircraft suffering a fatal mechanical failure. But as we never have an opinion on the show, keep it that way.
Well, I've already said what I think. And I don't think we're ever going to be told the truth.
It could be the new Philadelphia experiment.
Well, the thing is that I actually don't believe that there's anything unusual about what happened except for... Exactly, because I do believe that it's been, there's something that's more human than, you know, and and basically, they're not going to tell us what happened.
Well, they're saying that the pilot has hijacked it.
Well, I do believe there was a hijacking situation involved in it, and I do believe that it's been landed, and I believe the people are alive, and I don't think they're ever going to tell us what happened. It's going to just be something that goes on to be a mystery.
What I find unusual is that there's been such an air of mystery around it, because with these things, you tend to find that someone will come up with an answer, even if it's not the right one, you know?
Right.
You or somebody in the military will come out with something, oh, this is what's happened. Even if it's not true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they haven't actually come up with an answer yet or a covering answer, I find unusual.
Mm.
Unless it's a distraction from something else that's been going on.
It's always a distraction. There's always a distraction. They're doing something underneath the current.
Helicopter crash in Seattle today?
Mm-mm.
Yes, is the answer. It looks like it crashed in some cars as well. It crashed into a road. I think two people have died. I only caught a bit of it today because I've been past the television in work. So.
Wow. What else is going on with it?
With what?
The helicopter crash.
That is
all
I know. I haven't.
Okay.
I wasn't actually going to bring it up. I just happened to.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been watching the news today. Today has been... working and, you know, we've been working all day long.
Yeah, if we can work and...
We've been twerking a little.
Yeah.
But mostly working.
It went crazy this afternoon. It's like pretty good, and then all of a sudden it went crazy. An angry customer, you come out and talk to me. Oh, great.
Oh, is that why you were late, huh?
Very much. Well, no, that was something else.
Anyway,
let's have a look at some things to talk about. I don't know where to start. Okay, I'll just run through everything because I want to get through everything. Okay, it's something. 10 monumental historic misconceptions about the female body. I'm not going to read them all, but there was one which I was reading which seemed quite funny. where it is. Horizontal horizontal vaginas. No one knows exactly when the myth began that Asian women, particularly Chinese, Japanese, and Korean women, had horizontal vaginas.
Well, you know why that was the case.
Why? Oh, right. One of the earliest known accounts of the myth was recorded in 1816 when French naturalist George Cuvier theorized that female genitals differed and that the vaginas of Chinese women were positioned horizontally. During the 1880s, author J.W. Buell went to San Francisco, where he did extensive research on the Chinese women living in Chinatown and concluded that they were anatomically normal. However, the horizontal vagina myth became prevalent once again during the Second World War and the Korean War, thanks to American soldiers stationed overseas who spread tales about their supposed encounters with such women. Unfortunately, Asian women weren't the only ones to suffer this grievous misconception. Early European anti-Semites believed the tale that Jewish women had horizontal vaginas and gestated their children in just 6 months. I reckon there was like two guys, and they're like, how can we go around the world investigating women's vaginas? I know, you make up this story, and then I can go around looking at women's vaginas for the few years.
I think it probably started out as a prank. You know, they would walk up to them and they would just say, you know what I heard. So you got to show me, you got to prove to me that it's not true. That is just so sneaky.
Is the one driving destroys the ovaries.
That's what I was taught.
Pretty much the rest of the world rolled their eyes when, in September 2013, a prominent Saudi cleric announced that driving is harmful to women's health. In a bid to counter a planned driving protest by women activists, Sheikh Salah Al-Lahid said the studies...
You did that so good. It's like, you know, Salah Al-Lahid. You really did that.
Well, thank you. I didn't even practice.
I'm sorry. Oh, that was good.
Said that studies have shown that women who drive could damage their ovaries and displace their pelvises. He added that these women risked having children with birth defects. His comments quickly became controversial worldwide. A Twitter hashtag called Women's Driving Affects Ovaries and Pelvises made this statement go viral across the internet in endless mockery and criticism. Even his own countrymen expressed the disbelief at his remarks, with one calling them ridiculous. Mohammed Wakna, a Saudi gynecologist, made a challenge at his statements and encountered that there was no such studies. In Al-Hasdan's defense, his bizarre view about women driving wasn't the first, nor will it be the last, to garner such scrutiny. In 2010, another Saudi cleric caused a ruckus when he issued a fatwa that said women could breastfeed their drivers to formally make them part of the family. Wait.
What?
Let me read that again. Surely I must have read that wrong. In 2010, another Saudi cleric caused a ruckus when he issued a fatwa that said women could breastfeed their drivers to formally make them part of the family.
That's completely absurd. I mean, oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I have to rest. Have you ever laughed so hard that your stomach hurts and your back starts to hurt too?
Yeah.
I would start.
Do you want more?
I wanna. Is the one that what were those? There were some that some Republicans were saying during the last election about women. About there's a hormone that's released if a woman's being raped that makes their body shut down so they can't get pregnant.
Yeah, that's just it.
Okay, read that one.
The very idea that women cannot get pregnant as a result of rape traces its roots to Galen? Is that right? He believes that, like men, women produced seed necessary to make a child and released it only upon orgasm. By that logic, women who were raped were seen as incapable of producing this seed and therefore unable to get pregnant. Galen's seed theory remained firmly entrenched in later time periods. One legal text in medieval England read, If, however, the woman should have conceived at the time alleged in the appeal, it abates, for without a woman's consent she could not conceive. In short, the legal system saw rape victims who got pregnant as willing participants in the act. Amazingly, even in this day and age, it seems Galen still has plenty of supporters. Just this year, Representative Trent Franks of Arizona remarked that the incidence of rape resulting in pregnancy is very low, a statement that drew criticism for its gross insensitivity. Previous year, Missouri Representative and senatorial candidate Todd Akin received heavy criticism for his remarks that women couldn't get pregnant from legitimate rape.
That was a good one, the legitimate rape. That was such a sweet term. I think it's one that we've probably abused. I don't know if this is a legitimate rape. You know, it's just, yeah.
Anyway, what's this? Well, maybe I can come back to some of them, maybe.
Yeah, we'll come back to some of those over time. Let me share a little bit. May I?
Go ahead.
Okay. I found 20 terrifying two-sentence horror stories that will keep you up at night. If you're looking for a horrifying story that will keep you up tonight, don't waste all that time watching a horror movie. Are you ready for the first one?
Yeah, is this an alternative to Viagra?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
I woke up to hear knocking on glass. At first, I thought it was the window until I heard it come from the mirror again.
Go on.
The last thing I saw was my alarm clock flashing 12:07 before she pushed her long, rotting nails through my chest, her other hand muffling my screams. I sat bolt upright, relieved it was only a dream, but as I saw my alarm clock read 12:06, I heard my closet door creak open. Growing up with cats and dogs, I got used to the sounds of scratching at my door while I slept. Now that I live alone, it is much more unsettling.
You know, when my dad was younger, they had a wardrobe, they lived in this. They had lots of paranormal activity going on, and I think it happened on a couple of occasions, but it sounded like there was a wild animal clawing, trying to get out of the. Out of the wardrobe.
Oh my gosh.
Clawing, trying to get out of it. Anyway, my granddad, he got fed up with it in the end. He took it outside and chopped it up and burnt it.
Oh my goodness. What if it was a lion trying to get out?
Would you have gone in to find out?
No. Okay, a girl heard her mom yell her name from downstairs, so she got up and started to head down. As she got to the stairs, her mom pulled her into her room and said, "I heard that too." She asked why I was breathing so heavily. I wasn't. My wife woke me up last night to tell me there was an intruder in our house. She was murdered by an intruder 2 years ago.
Oh, Lord.
I awoke to the sound of the baby monitor crackling with a voice comforting my firstborn child. As I adjusted to a new position, my arm brushed against my wife sleeping next to me.
Sorry, should you read that one again?
Yes. I awoke to the sound of the baby monitor crackling with a voice comforting my firstborn child. As I adjusted to a new position, my arm brushed against my wife sleeping next to me. I always thought my cat had a staring problem. She always seemed fixated on my face until one day when I realized that she was always looking just behind me. These are scary.
You know, my nephew is 16 months old now. He keeps pointing at things. I was like sat there in this cafe and he was like pointing at this empty corner and looking at me going, I was like, there's nothing there.
Maybe he's telling you he wants to go over there.
Well, maybe, but, you know.
Take me over there. I want to go there.
To the corner.
Take me over there.
Everyone was at, like, a tournament, and she's like, boo, you're working entirely too hard to feel better about your celebrity boyfriend.
Damn.
How about focusing that effort on work that produces something that matters? And I said, I am making things that matter. I'm making echo sounds in the Bill's phone app.
Damn straight.
And she did the SMH, shaking my head.
She did the SMH, which is illegal in some countries.
I love that one. There's nothing like the laughter of a baby unless it's 1 a.m. and you're home alone. That one's kind of not really very scary.
I find that one scary.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's just like what happens all the time. And that was pretty freaking scary.
I think honestly.
It's a maniacal baby laugh. I was having a pleasant dream when what sounded like hammering woke me. After that, I could barely hear the muffled sound of dirt covering the coffin over my own screen. I can't sleep, she whispered, crawling into bed with me. I woke up cold, clutching the dress she was buried in. I began tucking him into bed, and he tells me, Daddy, check for monsters under my bed. I look underneath for his amusement and see him, another him, under the bed, staring back at me, quivering and whimpering. Daddy, there's somebody on my bed.
Wouldn't that be sick if your kid was like, check under the bed for us? I'd be like, yeah, just pretend to get sipped under. No way.
Oh, my gosh, just that whole thing right there, that made me feel really uncomfortable. You get home, tired, after a long day's work and ready for a relaxing night alone. You reach for the light switch, but another hand is already there. I can't move, breathe.
I do that when I go to wipe myself after the toilet.
I can't move. Breathe, speak, or hear, and it's so dark all the time. If I knew it would be this lonely, I would have been cremated instead. Oh, my goodness, that one just is over. That one's absolutely horrible. It's horrible. Just scaring the crap out of myself. She went upstairs to check on her sleeping toddler. The window was open and the bed was empty. I never go to sleep, but I keep waking up. Now that...
I never wake up, but I keep going to sleep.
My daughter won't stop crying and screaming in the middle of the night. I visit her grave and ask her to stop, but it doesn't help. After working a hard day, I came home to see my girlfriend cradling our child. I didn't know which was more frightening, seeing my dead girlfriend and a stillborn child, or knowing that someone broke into my apartment to place them there.
I was in work one day, and John came walking across down the stairs and stood next to me, and as I told him about something that was on my phone, I realized he was already downstairs.
What?
Having to work.
I know, but the way that you said it,
Oh, I confuse you?
Because I remember the guy was coming, and then you went to say something to him, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't even there. He wasn't there. Walked all the way across the landing, down the stairs, across the other landing, stood next to him, and I went, so, on my foot.
There was nobody there.
I don't know who it was. I just assumed it was him for some reason.
There was a picture in my phone of me sleeping. I live alone.
That's scary.
I live alone. If anybody wants to give us a call, our phone lines are completely open. The number is 347-215-8421. Participate in the esoteric question of the day. If you have any scary little things to talk about, or if you want to, just get a simple sample reading. Give us a call. What? Witches? We're going to be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. And,
I'm going to pour myself a fat one. Is that what people say?
What?
Don't think people say that, do they? Pour myself a fat one?
No, I don't think people talk about that.
Is that not right?
No. We'll be right back, everybody.
Yeah, there is.
And we're back.
Who was that? That was nice.
It sounded like to me as if you were sleeping.
Yes. But it was relaxing. It wasn't answer my questions, which I demand.
It was Julie Cruz.
Julie Cruz, yes.
Yes.
The song was called... Yes. Okay.
In Your World of Blue, I think. In Your World of Blue. I think that was what it was, like something in Your World of Blue. Julie Cruz is the person that sang the music for Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eat some jerky there?
No.
Oh. Opening some jerky.
No, but you need
somebody,
to...
How dare you come online?
You
need... Our internet.
You need to tell... You need to tell your girl to type it in there for her to not be on. Please. She's really, really, really testing me. Okay, so today we have an esoteric question. Has your greatest fear ever come true? So that's the esoteric question that's floating around in the air. Has your greatest fear ever come true? And Bill is going to be telling us some other things today.
Well, what should I... Should I talk about the moon?
Yes, the moon.
Okay, let me read. Let me narrate to you right now. I'm the narrator. The fornicator. The...
What?
I'm not really good at freestyle.
No, you're not.
That's going on. Skype's going crazy.
Yeah, because somebody's sucking the power up.
Should send me freaking pictures. Okay, let's have a look. This is Who Built the Moon by Christopher Knight, co-author of the best-selling The Hiram Key, and Alan Butler, authors of the best-selling Civilization One, Chapter One. Sorry, I was trying to sound like somebody on one of those audio tapes. Did I sound like that?
No, I wasn't even listening. Just kidding.
Okay, well, I'll just read. It's like somebody off South Park. I'll read just a couple of pages in chapter one, just so people can get juiced up, as I say, about this book. It's all about. I'll tell you what. I'll read the back of it first. Could it be that the moon is artificial? Could it even be hollow? A seeming impossibility for a natural planetary object. Extraordinary claims indeed, but keep an open mind and read the compelling arguments based on the scientific evidence and irrefutable logic. Arguments that will completely change the way we think of our world. Why does the moon have little or no heavy metals, or no core? Why do many specialists suspect that the moon is hollow when that should not be possible? And why did the Apollo lunar teams at NASA report on several occasions that the moon rings like a bell when struck? Why is it that the moon revolves at exactly 1/100th of the speed that the Earth turns on its axis? And why is the moon exactly 400 times smaller than the sun, and precisely 400 times closer to the Earth? I'll come back to that in a moment. Why do we find a consistent and beautiful sequence of integer numbers when looking at every major aspect of the moon, whereas no pattern emerges for any other planet or moon in the solar system? And why does an ancient system of geometry and measurements used in the Stone Age work perfectly? Sorry, I'll read that out again. And why does an ancient system of geometry and measurements used in the Stone Age work perfectly on the moon? If our moon did not exist, nor would we. Experts now agree that higher life only developed on Earth because the moon is exactly what it is and where it is. Does the moon really exist through some happy accidents or collision, a random game of space skittles, or is a blueprint apparent, and if so, who was the architect? The conclusions are astounding, and my dad has attempted, to read this book, but it's quite mathematical. But I'll read this here, just to get people interested, and you can find this book for yourself if you're interested in this kind of thing. I asked myself this question one day. I said to myself, is it better to know a lot about a few things or a little about a lot of things? And in conclusion, if you know a little about a lot, you can always go and investigate these things, or I can give you snippets of this of these things that you can investigate yourself as well. So you know about these things, you can find out more information if you want. There again, if you know a lot about a little, you don't really have a wide range of knowledge. Are you still there? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all right. Okay. It's just a couple of pages. Don't you worry, if you're not interested in this kind of thing, then tough. Chapter 1, The Dawn of Awareness. The entire population appeared to have simultaneously decided to evacuate every building, and the streets and car parks were quickly filling with people standing almost shoulder to shoulder. I remember this day. That's not in the book. That's me saying, I remember this day. Traffic began to grind to a halt as drivers leaned out of their windows. And even the birds abandoned the sky to assemble in rows along the guttering and telephone wires, chattering like some misplaced dawn chorus. The large grey clouds parted to reveal a muted, late morning sun that had a small bite out of its right-hand edge. As the dark spot grew, the birds fell silent, and a sea of expectant faces became transfixed upwards. Three welders from a nearby garage became instantly popular as they passed around their dark lens masks, allowing the smiling onlookers to get a direct view of the diminishing solar disk. Then it happened. The moment of totality arrived.
Mm-hmm.
The sun disappeared for several seconds, allowing the darkness of night to wholly consume the day. Then slowly, a bright sparkle materialized that soon looked like a diamond set on the band of some heavenly ring. The last solar eclipse of the 20th century had just occurred on the morning of August 11th, 1999. It had begun when the moon passed between the Earth and the Sun, throwing an umbral shadow 49 kilometers wide on the North Atlantic, just south of Nova Scotia. The inky black circle and swept across the ocean surface until it passed over the Isles of Sicily off the southwest coast of England. Some 14 minutes later. Here the path width had expanded to 103 kilometers and was now covering the ground at a speed approaching 1,000 meters per second. The circular shadow then curved its way over Europe and onto the Middle East before crossing India and finally disappearing over the Bay of Bengal. Such events do not happen often in the lifetime of an individual, but once seen, a solar eclipse is never forgotten. Solar eclipses occur around 2 to 5 times per year, but the area on the ground covered by the totality is very small. So in any given location on Earth, a total eclipse will only happen once every 360 years.
Mm.
One can only imagine how primitive people may have feared for their lives as the sun was apparently extinguished before their eyes. No doubt the astronomer priests of ancient time held sway over their people by having the apparent the magical power of predicting such terrifying events. But even today, the magic and mystery of the eclipse is very real. It is a very strange quirk of fate indeed. The disk of the moon should seem, from an earthly perspective, to be exactly the same size as the sun. Whilst we casually take it for granted that the two main bodies seen in Earth's skies look the same size, it is actually something of a miracle.
Mm.
Most people are fully aware that the moon is tiny compared to the sun, that it is much closer to us, causing them to appear as equal disks. To be precise, the moon is 400 times smaller than the star at the center of our solar system. Yet it is also about 1/400th of the distance between the Earth and the sun. While the surprisingly neat number of 400 of relative size and distance is apparently an amusing coincidence of the decimal counting system, the odds against this optical illusion happening at all are huge. Experts are deeply puzzled by the phenomenon. Isaac Asimov, a respected scientist and science fiction guru, described this perfect visual alignment as being the most unlikely coincidence imaginable. This perfect fit of the lunar and solar disk is a very human perspective because it only works from the viewpoint of someone standing on the Earth's surface. But the magic of the moon's movements above our heads goes to even more astonishing levels. By some absolutely incomprehensible quirk of nature, the moon also manages to precisely imitate the perceived annual movements of the sun each month. So when the sun is at its lowest and weakest in midwinter, the full moon is at its highest and brightest, and in midsummer, when the sun is at its highest and brightest, the moon is at its weakest. If you want to understand how extraordinary this doppelganger effect is, stand on a hilltop or an open plain and film the sun at midwinter sunset, its most southerly point in the horizon, at the spring equinox again at midsummer, and again at the autumn equinox. Then on those same dates, film the moon setting, and you will see that they both go down at the same point on the horizon at the equinoxes, March 21st and September 21st. But the moon will have the opposite setting points to the sun at solstices in December and June. There you go. I'll keep that as it is for now, but you can find out more information. That's Who Built the Moon by Christopher Knight and Alan Butler.
Wow. We talked about that before, but it's just, you know, sometimes you have to hear it again. There's some things that you really do have to hear again because it sits with you differently. You know, you visualize it a little bit better.
So we've got some moon facts as well, going through some 10 strange secrets of the moon. But before I move on to that, this is one of the earliest premonitions of something happening I remember from, what was that, 1999, it would have been 14, and the previous year, I kept having this date come into mind saying August the 11th. And I was like, what's the point about all these here, the 11th? Anyway, it came round and it was the day of this eclipse. and when it happened, I was actually looking through some welding glass that one of the neighbours had. It's crazy because it just went silent. All the birds shut up and I think my cat was like, wondering what the hell was going on. So I'll have a look at these. You ready for some more facts? Strange secrets of the moon. Okay. Here we go. False start. 10. Moonquakes. Despite being a dead hunk of rock with very little geological activity, the moon is prone to shaking fits. These earthquake-like tremors are called moonquakes, and there are four different kinds of them. The first three types, deep quakes, vibrations from meteorite impacts, and thermal quakes caused by sun heat. are relatively harmless. The fourth one, however, can be quite unpleasant. These shallow moonquakes can register up to 5.5 on the Richter scale, enough to move large furniture around. Still furniture on the moon. And last for a remarkably long 10 minutes. According to NASA, these quakes also have the effect of making the moon ring like a bell. The frightening thing about moonquakes is that we have no real idea what causes them. Earthquakes, says strange, isn't it? Earthquakes are usually caused by the movement of tectonic plates, but the moon doesn't have any active plate tectonics. Some researchers think there may have some link to Earth's tidal activity, which is caused by the moon's pull. However, this theory is inconclusive, as the tidal forces affect the entirety of the moon, but moonquakes are usually localized. The twin planets. Most people think the moon is, well, a moon, but there's some talk that it should actually be classified as a planet. For one, it's far too big to be a true moon. Being about one-fourth of the diameter of Earth, it is easily the biggest moon in relation to its planet in our solar system. Pluto has a moon called Charon. which is half its diameter in size, but since Pluto isn't a real planet anymore, it doesn't count. It used to be a planet, not anymore. You're no planet anymore. You're just a planet. Because of its large size, the moon doesn't actually orbit Earth at all. Instead, Earth and moon orbit around each other, around a point between them. The moon is called barycenter. And the illusion the moon is actually orbiting the Earth comes from the fact that the barycenter is currently located inside the Earth's crust. The fact that the barycenter remains inside the Earth is pretty much the only reason Earth and moon aren't classified as a twin planet instead of a planet and its satellites. However, this may change in the future. People reckon that it was a chunk of Earth that broke off, you know. But as far as I know, the moon is actually older than the Earth, and the iron content is extremely low on the moon compared to the Earth, which would indicate that it's not necessarily part of it. There are other theories. It was actually brought here by extraterrestrials, or is actually brought here by another planet entering the solar system. And it was like just happened to be left in our gravitational pull. Moon trash. Everybody knows that man has been on the moon, but not everyone is aware that he treated the place like a picnic area. Over time, the astronauts who visited the moon managed to leave quite a bit of trash behind. It's estimated there is 181,437 kilograms, which is about 400,000 pounds of man-made materials lying on the moon. Don't worry, though. It's not as if the astronauts have been purposely littering the place and throwing sandwich wrappers and banana peels everywhere. Most of the garbage is debris from various experiments, space probes, and lunar rovers. Some of it is, in fact, still functional today. There is also some real trash, however, such as astronaut poop containers. Gross. Like, you go to the moon, like, you're so excited, like, yeah, man, it's coming, there's just a turd.
What if you don't know that's what it is? What if you're just
like, it's a chocolate bar.
You're just like, you know, just from another, you know, from another place, and you're just like, what is this? And you're like looking at it and you're digging through it and it's poop.
Digging in the poop.
Playing around in it and creating things.
Oh, God.
It's like some sort of clay.
The moon is a burial ground. Eugene Shoemaker, a famous astronomer and geologist, was something of a legend in his field. He invented the scientific research of cosmic impacts and came up with the methods and techniques that Apollo astronauts used to research the moon. Shoemaker wanted to be an astronaut himself, but was turned down because of his name. That's not true, I was just kidding. Was turned down because of a minor medical issue. Throughout his life, this remained his biggest disappointment. Still hoping against hope. Shoemaker kept on dreaming that he would someday visit the moon. When he died, NASA fulfilled his most precious wish and sent his ashes to the moon.
But that's not what he meant.
I know, yeah, it's like, oh, he's dead now. Let's take him now.
Just burn him up and take him.
He'll enjoy it better now. He's dead.
I mean, that just sounds like such a... Anyway.
So they scattered his ashes on the moon.
Now, look, you get what you asked for.
Lunar anomalies. If you haven't heard about this before, there's loads of lunar anomalies. There's also evidence that NASA has been blurring and editing the photos from the moon. And I think, in fact, if you listen to the Disclosure Project, there's a woman, I can't recall her name, but she actually talks about this. And if you haven't seen the Disclosure Project, it's headed by Stephen Greer. It's got people of high-ranking officers and that from the military, the Navy, standing up at the National Press Club to share their knowledge and information about extraterrestrials and UFOs and the weaponizations of space. But anyway, some of these pictures taken by the various vessels that the visitors show some very strange things on the moon's surface. Many of these images seem to show artificial constructs that range from tiny canister-like shapes to the shard, which appears to be a towering structure that could be at least 1.6 kilometers tall. According to the paranormal enthusiasts, there's even a large castle that's suspended high above the surface of the moon.
Mm.
I haven't heard about that. All of this seems to point towards an advanced civilization that lived on the moon and built complicated structures. NASA has never really bothered to debunk these strange theories. This may be because the images showing these signs of life have almost certainly been doctored by the conspiracy theories. Yeah, could be a mixture of both, but there are some strange anomalies on the moon. But sometimes I see people, especially with the Mars photos, that people are like, look at this on Mars here, look, you can see this shape here, and I'm looking, I'm like, what the hell are they looking at? And they like alter the picture, and they're like, that goes there, you look there, and it's like they're looking at nothing. I mean, sometimes there are some interesting anomalies on Mars, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them, people are looking for something that isn't there.
Right.
Like, what are they doing? They're really trying to find something in this photo, which isn't there. It's crazy. Moon dust. One of the moon's most surprising dangers is lunar dust. As everyone knows, sand gets everywhere, even on Earth.
Okay, my God.
But on the moon, it is downright hazardous. Lunar dust is as fine as flour, yet not as tasty and extremely rough. Thanks to this texture and the moon's low gravity, it clings absolutely everywhere. NASA has experienced numerous problems caused by moon dust. It has eroded astronauts' boots almost completely through and sandpapered their visors. It has traveled inside the ships with the spacesuits and caused moon hay fever in the poor astronauts that have inhaled it. It thought that the prolonged exposure to the stuff could even cause airlocks to fail and spacesuits to break down. It reminds me how much gravity. And in case you were wondering, yes, of course, this devilish substance smells like spent gunpowder.
Mmm. Interesting.
I'm going to miss out a couple here. Let's go to the moon's origin. That sounds good.
Mmm.
Where did the moon come from? The short answer is that we don't really know. However, science is able to hazard a few educated guesses. There are five main theories about the origin of the moon. The fission theory argues that the moon used to be part of our planet that was separated at some very early points of Earth's history. This would make the moon part to what is currently the Pacific Ocean's basin. Which I don't believe that because of what I said previously. The capture theory says that the moon was just wandering the universe until our gravitational field caught it.
They're starting to sound a little sketchy, so we could cut out.
Oh, are we?
I mean, I'm hearing a little sketchiness just within the connection to the show, so I'm just putting it out there. We could cut out.
Okay, you sound all right to me at the moment.
Okay, all right, okay.
Other theories that our satellite was either condensed from a bunch of asteroids or the remains of Earth's collisions with an unknown Mars-sized planet. It's actually a planet, I think, called Malak or something. It's called loads of different things, but Malak is one of the names, and I believe that went, that's where the asteroid belt is now, because it was destroyed by Nibiru when it passed through. Currently, the most likely candidate for the moon's origin story is the ejected ring theory, which is better known as the giant impact theory. According to this version, a protoplanet, a planet that is forming, called Theia, collided with the Earth. The ensuing cloud of debris eventually condensed into the moon. Let me see if I can just check the sound on the show. I mean, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If anybody wants to call us, remember our lines are open. 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Does it sound okay?
Well, let me just stay quiet for a moment.
Okay.
Well, I seem to be sounding quite quiet here. Do I sound all right to you? Volume?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just check. Let's need to check my sound levels. Oh, no, sound levels seem to be all right. I just sounded quieter than you.
Okay. Okay, you also left the chat room, just so you'll know.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a guest in the chat room, but you've left. Oh, that's you?
Yes, yeah.
Your guest now, okay. All right.
Okay, I think we'll take a break in a minute.
Okay.
Let's check these. Yeah, tell you what, let's take a break. I need to grab a snack quickly.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take a break. And this is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to give us a call today, it's kind of a slow day. A good day to be able to get your question in and maybe even get some attention. The number is 347-215-8421. We'll be right back.
Yeah! drum.
Show me which nigga pot tryna rinse, they all the witch, AB, AD's on the block, straight cheese on the chop, AB, they talking that six, is this the shit? You think they grew up, too tough, for ripping niggas head off like you what, you pop, but then it's Jehovah like you up, who got
the situation here.
Yeah, we back. Yeah, I was having a hard time getting my little mute guy to clear up. It's a Broken Earth Radio Show, and our lines are open. Like I said, our number is 347-215-8421. Today we're talking about who built the moon. If anybody has anything to share or any questions that they were wondering about or even anything that they wanted to talk about in regards to our esoteric question of the week, which is, has your greatest fear ever come true? Give us a call. Like I said, our number is 347-215-8421. Now, there's someone, palindromes in the classroom, in the chat room, is
asking,
pain drone. Is asking, can we ask a question into chat room? Yeah, you can ask a question into chat room if you'd like.
But we won't answer it.
We'll answer your question into chat room.
Into chat room. while they're doing that, shall I let's continue with these other two bits about the moon.
Okay.
Yeah, the moon and sleep. The moon's effects on the Earth and vice versa cannot be denied. However, its effects on humans' brains, that's not what it says. However, its effects on humans remain a source of constant debate. Many believe that the full moon brings out the strangest behavior in people. Although science hasn't been able to offer conclusive proof about this, there is one thing science has been able to confirm, though.
Right.
There's a very good chance that the moon could disturb our sleep cycle. According to a volunteer-based experiment by the University of Bézère in Switzerland, the phases of the moon affect and disturb the human sleep cycles in a clearly measurable way, and the absolute worst night's sleep is usually during the full moon. If accurate, this find could very well explain the whole full moon madness theory. If no one can catch a good night's sleep during the full moon, it makes sense that time would see quite a lot more strange things than your average night. And moon shadows, when Louis Armstrong and Buzz Lightyear first walked on the alien landscape of the moon, they soon made a jarring discovery. He didn't say anything about the names there. The shadows of the moon were far darker than those on Earth due to the lack of atmosphere.
Mm.
Everything for the sun didn't shine directly on was pitch black. Once flippity floppity floppity flop flop flap 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 flop flippity floppity.
What?
Once their footsteps into a shadow, they could not see if any more Once their foot stepped in the shadow, they could not see it anymore, despite the fact the sun was blazing in the sky. That's interesting. Although they soon found they could adjust to the shadows, the constant contrast between dark shadow areas and sunny ones remained a challenge. things got even stranger when they noticed that some of the shadows, namely their own, had halos. They later learned that looked like it was Spanish to me for some reason. Had halos.
I've done that before. I was working at the natural food store, and there was a vitamin that was called Nature Made. And for some reason, when I looked at it, I was like, Nature My Day. And I said, this vitamin by Nature My Day, is there a price for it? And the girl looked at me and she was like, no, it's Nature Made. And I was and I was like, I'm okay. I mean, I'm telling you, you know how it is. It's like you're looking at something and it just does, for some reason, your mind is doing something else.
Yeah, I do it all the time. They later learned this eerie experience was caused by the opposition effect, a phenomenon that makes certain dark shadow areas appear surrounded by a bright aureola when they're viewed in a certain angle to the sun. The shadows of the moon caused mischief on many Apollo missions. Some astronauts found their maintenance tasks impossible because their own hands blocked out what they were doing, while others thought they were landing on a steep slope because of the deep shadows that seemed like a cavern.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting is one of the photos on Moon, one of the first ones where he's jumping out of the little pod off the ladder. They've taken a photo of him. The sun is in the shadow of the aircraft, of the craft, but he is lit up, and they did not have flash photography on the moon. So I don't understand, if he was in such a dark shadow, how we could see what he was doing, because mm-hmm. he was in the shadow of the probe.
Something fishy.
Did you do your reading?
Yeah. It looks like palindrome looks like.
Palindrome.
It looks like you'll be finding a job at the beginning of next month, but for some reason it looks like you're not starting work until the middle of the month. So we'll see how that goes.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm, good luck.
Many happy returns. Now here's something I promised you. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I'm actually going to promise I'm going to make it through all the subjects I mentioned at the beginning of the show. This is something about trees. Little things about trees. In the early 20th century, a small bridge in the Irish village of Finnis was haunted by a very nasty ghost. Locals blamed the spirit for deaths and accidents on the bridge and lived in fear of offending it. The local priest decided to form an exorcism and managed to trap the spirit in a bottle. He then decided to store it in a local sycamore beside the bridge. As long as the tree stood, the ghost remained trapped and whiskey remained the only spirit likely to cause a car accident in the area. I thought I'd read that wrong for a minute, but I didn't. Workers were even forced to reroute power lines around the tree when the priest insisted, with full local backing, that the tree shouldn't be removed, and couldn't be removed. While it was later killed by a lightning strike, no one in the village would even consider removing the trunk in case the spirits got out. Despite all precautions, the remains of the sycamore were destroyed by a storm in 2009. The only way you can visit the tree today is to do it on Google Maps, because they photographed it in the area in 2008. The destruction of the tree was agreed by all to be a very bad thing. I'm moving at the end of the month, and now I'm glad I'm going, said one of the lucky residents.
Trees.
There are other ones, but they're not as exciting as I remembered. Now, you see...
What?
There's the next story. A gypsy gang chopped off a man's genitals after they discovered he had slept with one of their girlfriends, it has been reported. Police brought a busy dual carriageway to a standstill today to hunt for a penis after he was discovered severely injured at the side of the road. Wait a minute, it sounds like the penis was severely injured at the side of the road.
No, the man was, and did he lose his...
He
lost his prior?
Yeah, didn't you hear what I said?
I mean, I was listening, but it just all hit me in the face.
Again?
No, it's okay. Go on.
It's only one sentence.
Oh, go on.
I could have said it by now. A gypsy gang chopped off a man's genitals and discovered he had slept with one of their girlfriends, it has been reported. Police brought a busy... Now, this is worded weird. Police brought a busy dual carriageway to a standstill today to hunt for a penis after he was discovered severely injured at the side of an A-road. I should say a man's penis. The 40-year-old was discovered in a distressed state on the side of the A66 dual carriageway in Middlesbrough this morning, Cleveland police have confirmed. It has been reported that the man was seen searching in undergrowth.
Oh, my God.
A member of staff at Asda, close to where the incident happened, said he heard the man had suffered a horrendous injury to his groin. He added a few of Asda's staff have been talking, apparently. It was some gypsy men doing it to another guy after they found out he'd slept with one of their girlfriends. I don't know his name, but that seems to be what I've heard. Although police would only say that the man had only suffered serious injuries and wounds to his groin area, it is understood that his penis had been cut off and was missing, prompting officers to close sections of the route in order to search for it. Around 8 officers were seen combing a grass verge at the side of the road while 2 was used to seal off a section of the carriageway. Let's read the comments.
This is just absolutely horrible. What if he didn't know that she with someone? Are they just going to go around cutting off everybody's things? Why don't they sew her shut? Or just not be with her if she can't be faithful?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What if you got the wrong guy?
That is just absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Anyhow, let's take a break. I need to take a break from that one. Okay. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. Remember our number. It's 347-215-8421. Our lines are open. Give us a call. Hello, it's Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Bill and Nunu talking about moon stuff today.
Well, we were, and then I moved on.
Oh, and now he's talking about people who are getting their...
Watch.
Yeah.
Well, just sorry, I did mention this on the other show, but it did actually say in that book that the moon was 400 times smaller, or the sun was 400 times bigger than the moon, which actually is not correct, really, if you, because really it's in a three-dimensional scale, which is not right. The only way it would work out right is if you lined up 400 moons across the sun, and there'd be a long strip of them, so that's 400 moons right there, which is not correct. They're thinking in some sort of two-dimensional way. The moon's not 400 times smaller than the sun. But, you know, you get the gist of what they're trying to say, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Well, anyway, thousands of people have been sent a distressing hoax email telling them they have cancer. A health watchdog has warned. The message appears to be from the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence and carries the subject important blood analysis results. Seeming to come from an official health email address, it advises the recipient, that their white blood cell count was found to be low after a recent blood test, and they should visit their GP immediately as cancer is suspected. The company's called NICE, you know, the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, is, you know, abbreviated to NICE, just, you know. NICE said it has been bombarded with phone calls following the hoax, and that those who have had blood tests recently have been particularly alarmed. The email says, "We have been sent a sample of your blood analysis for further research. During the complete blood count, we have revealed that white blood cells is very low, and unfortunately we have a suspicion of cancer. We suggest you to print out your CBC test results and interpretations in attachment below and visit your family doctor as soon as possible." Sir Andrew Dillon, NICE chief executive, is it? Said a spam email appearing to come from NICE is being sent to members of the public regarding cancer test results. This email is likely to cause distress to recipients, since it advises that test results indicate they may have cancer. It goes on, but that's just not right. Why? It's horrible. Especially if you're waiting for some test results and you know your family member's not well. You're waiting for blood test results and the next thing you know, you get an email saying, you know, cancer. What are they going to gain from that?
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't understand.
Evil. Anyway, back to the 10 monumental historical misconceptions about female body.
Okay.
Now, I've not heard about this, just when it says you may have heard, but you may have heard about hypocrites. Hypocrites is hilariously insane belief about women's wounds wandering inside their bodies. But have you heard about the clitoris that could be used as a penis? That's right. The ancient Greeks thought that women with particularly big clitorises could use them as penetrative appendages for intercourse. So prevalent was the belief that it's carried over well into the 19th and 20th centuries, when American and European physicians also incorporated it into their study of lesbianism. Perhaps one of the most vocal supporters of the existence of the female penis was Italian inquisitor...
What?
Ludovico Sinistrari. It's a priest and author who specialized and demonology and sexual sins. He stated that women who were overcome by lust could enlarge their clitoris and transform themselves into men. In a time where lesbianism was a crime punishable by death, Sinistrari made the odd postulation that such a crime could occur only if the accused successfully penetrated the other party with her clitoris. No argument that may have saved some lives. Nevertheless, Sinistrari advocated extreme punishment for those found guilty of the crime.
Maybe those were hermaphrodites or something.
Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, you know, I've seen some stuff, man. And
no, you haven't seen anything.
And maybe it's a fine line between, you know, a large clitoris and hermaphrodite. So I guess in some ways.
Well,
if you have a debate, maybe even a mass debate, really. It depends on how many people were there.
I don't know anything about all that nonsense. I remember watching this movie a long time ago.
It was called, only last week.
It was called Alexandra or something like that, or Alexandria. It was a French movie. But anyway, she fell in love with one of her classmates. And then all of a sudden, there was this thing that was going on, and she said that she loved her classmate so much that she turned into a man down there. And it was like, what? And so, because we thought we were just watching some French movie, and then all of a sudden it started turning into all this chaos, and we were like, oh my gosh! And so. But I mean, it wasn't blatant. Anything was blatant. It was just French talking. So basically, she was a hermaphrodite the whole time, but she was raised as a girl. But she chose, because she had feelings as a man, she chose to live as a man, and of course started calling herself Alexander. But yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff.
What have you seen, Bill?
Well, there used to be somebody working, they're like, do you want to buy some porn DVDs? And I was like, what? I was like, all right then. Bought it, and they said it had all this weird stuff on it. And it was like, hermaphrodites.
You actually paid money for that?
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't much money. It was only a couple of pounds. But I was like...
Are you actually admitting this?
Well, yeah.
Why can't you just say that you just happened upon it one time?
Because people wouldn't believe it. Well, that sounds even worse. I happened to be on the internet and accidentally found some hermaphrodites. I bought a DVD, thought it was going to be genuine, normal, everyday. And I was like, what the hell's going on? So confused. But it was in between, like, normal stuff. I was like, right, this...
I don't believe it.
Are they lesbians? And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute.
Was it real or was it real or was it like...
It's real.
It wasn't like prosthetic?
No, it's all
real. I'm so glad I chose PG-13 on this particular episode.
That's my version of the story. In 1873, Edward Clark, a doctor and former professor, I wasn't the only one, by the way.
Don't make excuses. You're the only one that matters right now.
I was the only one who asked for it.
You're the only one that went looking for it, by the way.
Found it.
Downloaded it. Pretended.
I made my DVD. I'm pretending that I bought them from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In 1873, Edward Clark, a doctor and former professor at Harvard Medical School, published his reasons why women shouldn't be educated in his book, Sex and Education, or A Fair Chance for the Girls. He asserted that since women are predestined to be propagators,
The synthesis. What?
Of the human race. Education was of secondary importance. He pointed out that their brains were inferior to men's and thus weren't meant to handle higher levels of education.
You can't handle this. Your brain isn't...
He also warned that those women who persisted in learning risked damaging their reproductive organs.
If you keep learning, you're going to hurt your vagina and your...
Especially if they were menstruating. For a time, Clark's theory...
You have to let me say extra stuff.
I was.
If you keep reading that book, your period is going to get real bloody and crazy. Okay, go on.
It'll fall out.
Your period will fall out.
For a time, Clark's theory became a hot topic for debate and was frequently used as a Bible by activists against women's education. Eventually, the theory faded away as more women flocked to colleges.
I'm just a caveman.
And universities and proved themselves as good as or better than their male peers.
I'm just a caveman. Your crazy words and wheels, they frighten me.
Horizontal vaginas.
Anyway.
Did you have anything to share?
I have cookies.
That's very good.
Cupcakes.
Okay, then I'll find... I've got plenty of other things here.
I want to play a song. I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
Can we do that and we'll come back and you can run your mouth till the cows come home?
I've already been doing that.
The cows are not here yet. This is Broken Earth Radio Show, you guys, and we will be right back.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
To watch you, your body in my eyes.
We're back. That was difficult. Did it sound all crappy?
Well, usually it does sound kind of crappy to us, but when it's played back in the show, it sounds all right. And
well,
I've heard that song before, and it always sounds awesome, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, so what were we talking about?
Latex masks.
Oh, my goodness. They're creepy.
Well, it's not about. A dog owner revealed today how her pet saved her life by performing the Heimlich maneuver. Rachel Hayes of Carmarthenshire, West Wales, thought she was going to die as she choked on a strawberry sweet while sitting in a kitchen. But as she gasped for air, the 40-year-old woman's faithful Springer Spaniel, Molly Pops, sprang into action and hit her so hard on the back with her paws that the sweet popped out. Miss Hayes said, "She's an absolute hero. If it had not been for Molly Pops, I would have died. I was sat down, and the sweet just got stuck in the back of my throat.
Mm.
I was trying to get it up, but I couldn't. I didn't know what to do." Miss Hayes and Liz with Molly Pops in the rural village of Trefach Feinschulob.
What?
Somewhere in Wales. Could not call out. She said, "I couldn't phone anyone because I couldn't talk. I was having difficulty breathing and was doing my best to get it out. But Molly Pop's sixth sense kicked in and she knew I was in trouble. I kept pushing her away because I couldn't really breathe. But then she came up behind me, put her paws on me and blasted on my back with such a force that the sweet came out. Miss Hayes said that she could have died if best friend Molly Pops had not performed the maneuver."
Do you realize that they have said that story about two times during that entire story? They kept going round and round and round with it. Because the dog basically hit her on the back and she was able to cough it out.
Somebody's put a comment here. "That's nothing. Nothing. One of my house caught fire. My golden retriever, Sparky, first carried the cats out, then ran down to the fire station, drove the ladder truck up into my front yard, and rode the bucket up high into the air from where he directed the high-power nozzle into the flame and extinguished the fire. Moved to such heroics out of shame for having forgotten to change the batteries in the smoke alarms."
Well, the thing is that, their dog may have done all that, but her dog just did exactly what it needed to do for the moment. So the dog didn't need to save them from a fire.
Sure wasn't.
Or give him drugs so that he would think that he was seeing a dog. That's cute.
Allegedly, of course.
I feel like I've heard that whole scenario before. Anyway.
Someone caught her, and she was, like, doing something with the dog. She was like, "Oh, God, yeah. No, it was the Heimlich maneuver." It was the Heimlich maneuver. Honestly.
It's saving my life.
Saving me. Oh, Jesus.
It's saving my life. Oh, Molly Pop. If she was smart, she would have been eating a lollipop and not eating just a piece of candy.
Well, dog's actually surname is actually Macheri. So,
are you serious?
Why? Macheri? Why was?
It just sounds like it's something that's about to be a joke.
Molly Pops Macheri.
See?
Anyway.
Yeah, it's about to be a joke.
Dawn Ruth Goddard invites me into a cramped, pitch-black photo booth no more than a couple feet wide. "Hold on," the Dutch designer whispers into my ear. Oh, sorry. "Hold on. Just give it a minute." Soon the tiny cucumber plant in his hand begins to emit a faint glow. As my eyes adjust, it gets brighter. Huysgaard's specimen was created by genetically modifying its molecular structure to include
molecular man.
Luciferin, a chemical that gives jellyfish their radiant glow. I'm completely obsessed with jellyfish, Huysgaard says. Read out the title of this, it's only confused. Plants that produce their own light. They create their own light without a battery or solar panel. Huysgaard's plant is nowhere near as vibrant as jellyfish or a fern from Avatar. It's in fact still quite dim, but serves as a proof of concept of technology which hopes to employ on much larger scale. He asked me to imagine trees filled with glowing leaves lining highways to light the way for drivers, or a street lined with energy-neutral trees instead of electric street lamps. Huysgaard says, at a time where governments are shutting down street lights to save money, can we not make it more natural? The plants were engineered in collaboration with BioGlow founder Dr. Alexander Krzyzewski.
BioGlow.
It first revealed this technology back in January. The idea for glowing plants has been around for at least a few years, but Krzyzewski claims that it's our first real prototypes.
Oh, my goodness.
He goes on, that's cool because, you know, the plants in Avatar are pretty cool, right?
BioGlow. That movie was just so beautiful.
Well, especially doing Avatar 2, aren't they, at some point?
They don't need an Avatar 2. You just need to let it be by itself. Some of these movies need to just stand alone and just be these awesome movies. They don't have to go back in and mess it all up.
You know what, when I watched TV
with Nicolas Cage and dolphins. Ugh.
You love them.
Oh, no.
Just wait till I get my Nicolas Cage dolphin mask. Like Machete at the end of that. I was like, next, Machete Kills, and Machete Kills again. I was like, they're never going to make those films. And then surely enough, they did.
You know, it's a sense of humor, and I'm pretty sure that he works cheap.
Yeah, but he tastes good.
Oh, my gosh, really?
That came out completely wrong to what I was trying to.
Really make my stomach hurt.
Like baby oil and Doritos.
Oh my gosh! Like no, he looks
cigarettes
like
cigarettes and tequila.
No, he looks like he smells like just some sort of random grease and corn chips. Random grease, like
what
oil.
Were you talking about that before?
I don't know.
I was like, I heard of that before. You were talking to Marissa about some random grease, and I was like, what did?
We were talking about growing up in the country, and Angela and me and Angela and Marissa were all talking about this today about growing up in the country and how there was this woman who had she made popsicles in her big gigantic freezer down in, like, you know, either in the basement or in the kitchen. No. But she would use like Dixie cups or styrofoam cups, and she would freeze Kool-Aid with tons of sugar, and you could go and you could get purple and red and green.
And on
the weekend sometimes they'd have blue ones. And Angela was saying that the woman in her neighborhood used to use the Tupperware sticks. So you had to eat the popsicle at her house and give her a quarter and sit on her porch and eat it and give her the stick back so she could make some more. But we would like we were tearing the cups and sucking on the ice stuff and tearing the cups off and dropping. There were like cup droppings all up and down the road when you'd walk back home. But the thing is that you were always told not to tell anybody she had them. Don't tell anybody you got these here. You had to pay 50 cents, and you couldn't tell anybody that you got them.
They had Rohypnol in
them. I don't know.
I don't remember much, you know. I'm fairly used to say that.
For little boys. No, but it was, we were talking about how the house smelled like grease. It just smelled like some sort of cooking oil, like lard or something that you just couldn't quite identify, but it was very thick, very thick smell. So, yeah, he smells like some sort of thick grease and corn chips.
And burps.
And burps. And burps. Beer burps, like stale beer burps.
Mixed with Doritos.
Mixed with, ooh.
Just for guys.
That's silly.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show here.
I think we've had a fun show today.
Yes, it's been strangely quiet. But what are we talking about next week's show?
Topics.
That's right, black-eyed children.
Black-eyed children.
Yeah. Come on, you don't know.
Black guy children?
Black-eyed children.
Black-eyed
children? Black eyes. How's that?
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, children that were guides that were black. No. Anyhow, I'm being told no. No. Somebody's in trouble.
You need to do some talking. I've done too much talking on the show.
You think so? You talk all the time.
Definitely.
You talk nonstop, except when I want you to talk. Then you're just sitting there looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, you're not, of course.
Yeah, next week we're going to be talking about the black-eyed children. We're going to be doing
peas.
We're going to be doing readings. We're also going to be doing some. I think we're going to probably do an overnight show. You know, just to kind of get a different feel. Sometimes it's good to work the clock and just kind of pick up different. You know, because we've had a pretty couple of quiet weeks here, so we'll kind of work the clock. And sometimes it's hard for people to listen during the day. But I guess that's basically it. I'll play a song and close us out, huh?
Yeah, and next week we've got an article here from the Waking Times called Have You Been Here Before?
Have you been here before?
So, go on.
All right, well.
Play a song and get out of here.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.
Glad it's gone. your love never end. And if you need a friend, there's a seat here alongside me.